mountain, river, and plain through wind and storm,
rides Anne of the Airline.
When we left our friends, a mysterious stranger, evidently a native of the Everglades, was demanding that Aunt Hattie and Art Morrison refrain from entering their plane. Just who was this stranger? And does he have some connection with the diamond smuggling gang? Of course, we'd like to hear the answers right now, but we feel that there is much more danger menacing Anne Burton as she vainly attempts to find her way from the secret landing field after delivering the message to Jack Baker. A night has passed, and as morning breaks, we wonder if Anne has taken advantage of the cloak of darkness to escape the eyes of the two gangsters, Vic and Joe, with whom Jack has evidently linked himself. Suppose we look into the hut that is part of the camouflaged airport, deep in the heart of the Everglades.
Oh, boy, did I sleep. Hey, where am I? Oh, I remember. Well, it wasn't a dream after all.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's you, Baker.
I thought maybe it was Joe getting back with a truckload of gas for that transport. What time is it anyway?
6:40. We must have really slept. Looks like your partner must have walked out on you, Morgan.
Nah, Joe was just using his head, that's all. Probably for the first time. But I guess he was smart at that. Maybe got hung up on that road with the trees down and didn't get to that little burg until after dark. And it sure got dark early with all that rain. So he just stayed out all night, I guess, and figured on getting his gas this morning. Is it raining out yet?
Not a drop. Looks as clear as a bell. I think I'll open this door.
No wonder I woke up. Who could sleep with all them birds making that racket? Hey, what does that runway look like?
Still looks like a lake to me. But you can see the concrete this morning, and that's more than I could do yesterday.
Yeah, it takes a little time for a rain like that to drain off. But you'll always find a few inches over that slab. Just enough so nosy pilots won't be tempted to drop down and look things over.
That's very clever. Were you fellows clever enough to remember that a person would like to have breakfast when he stops overnight in this place?
I think so. You see what you can do about getting a fire started in that stove, will you? And don't try to turn on that gas because we're not that modern. But you'll find a lot of wood in that box out in that lean-to. In the meantime, I'll see if there isn't a slab of bacon in the cupboard here.
Well, I think the roof leaked everywhere except on the wood. It's dry, thank goodness.
Well, bring some in.
They're coming up.
I found the bacon and coffee. And there's a can of cream. It isn't what you'd order at the Ritz, but it'll have to do us for a while anyway.
I haven't built a fire in a wood stove for years. Not since I was a kid. It seems to be doing all right. Yeah, there she goes.
Yeah, that'll burn okay. I'll put this frying pan on and fix some coffee and... Hey, Baker, where are you going?
I thought I'd drop down to the hangar and see if the ship's okay. You can never tell what might happen during the night.
Not a bad idea. If Joe gets back here, we can take off for Africa today, can't we?
Today? Oh, Morgan, listen. Before we take off across the Atlantic, I would like to have weather reports. And just incidentally, a few provisions would come in handy.
That's all been taken care of, Bright Eyes. Joe will bring back a supply of just about everything we can take, including, just in case things don't go so good, some hardtack and some of that bully beef. Wouldn't even surprise if he happened to bring one of those rubber life rafts, too.
You don't mind telling me just where Joe's going to round up all these things here in the heart of the Everglades? You'd have to go to some seaport for those things.
Baker, sometimes you surprise me with how much you don't know. For instance, just down the road about 10 miles is a fellow that makes a pretty good living just selling outfits to people that, well, don't care to have it well known that they're going on a little sea voyage. Here in the Everglades, you can get away with it.
He'd probably get away with it in the middle of the Sahara Desert, too, but it seems to be a long way from the ocean.
Look, Baker, less than 10 miles from here is a canal that runs right into the ocean, or rather to the Biscayne Bay. There are three of those canals from Lake Okeechobee, and any one of them will carry a fair-sized motorboat. So anybody that wants to do a little prospecting around the Keys and don't want it noised around about buying his gear from regular places, or maybe wants a few extras that go along with his business, why, this fellow near the canal fixes him up, see?
Well, I must say that your organization has things pretty well worked out, Morgan.
Yeah, the doc thinks of just about everything. Well, you better take a look at that ship if you're gonna. Hey, if you walk around to the side of the cabin, you can cross the runway there without getting your feet wet. There's a walkway there.
Okay, thanks. Be back in a minute.
Wonder if Ann got away all right. No footprints leaving here, but then the rain would have washed them out. So we take off for Africa today. And I haven't had a chance to even take a look at that handkerchief that Ann gave me, with that wavelength scribbled on it. I think I'll take a look at that. Say, that sounds like Joe coming back. He's stopping right outside the door. This... He must be coming in. I'll put this away until I get...
Hey, who's in here? What's the idea? Come on out.
That's all right, Joe. Me, Jack.
Gee, Jack, for a minute I thought maybe that somebody had got in here and might be doing something to the ship.
No, I was just looking over the ship while Morgan was fixing up something to eat. Ought to be ready by this time.
Whatever it is, we'll go pretty good after the drive I've had this morning. You can ride up the runway in the flivver and you won't get your feet wet.
Okay, Joe. Did you get the gasoline?
Yeah. It's on its way out here now along with a lot of other things that Fig had on his list. But I almost didn't make it. That is, the trip into town, which ain't a town at all, but just a bunch of little shacks along the canal with a filling station near the road.
You mean you nearly had a wreck?
It was worse than that, Jack. I didn't mind having to get out every now and then to get a treat from across the road. But boy, that guy was sure wanting to get somewhere in a hurry, and he wasn't going to be fooled.
Oh, wait a minute, Joe. Just what guy are you talking about?
Here's a lean-to. I'll drive in. Vic ought to hear about this, too. May have some connection with us. Only if it did, I guess I wouldn't be here.
Well, Joey, it's about time you're getting back. I thought you might have decided to stay. Jack said you may have decided to leave us in the lurch.
No, I just got into that little burg late. And by the time I got that filling station guy awoke, he said he wouldn't load any gas till morning anyhow. So I just stayed all night in the Lizzie so I could help him this morning. He's on his way here now. But the going is kind of slow on account of the rain. And that road is no picnic, even when it's dry.
Well, we might as well eat while we're waiting for him. You take that chair over there, Baker. And Joe, you can drag up that box. Find out anything about the ship, Baker?
I hardly had a chance. Just climbed into the cabin when Joe came driving up. So I thought I might as well delay the inspection tour until after breakfast.
Ah, that's okay. You'll have plenty of time while you're gassing up the ship. Did you get the rest of that stuff, Joe?
Yeah, but I guess we was lucky because Jasper's running pretty low on that seagoing rig. He says that he got tipped off that they've been checking up on him lately, and he has to be careful.
Well, he better get smart and start getting his supplies from another source. Buying ship supplies and taking it inland in a truck doesn't look exactly right even to a kid. It's a wonder he hasn't been questioned by someone before this.
Yeah, and that's what got me. Him telling me that right after that fellow wanted to get south in such a hurry.
What fellow?
You started to tell me about it, Joe. Let's have the rest of the story. That is, the start and the finish.
Well, I had left here yesterday evening, and I guess I drove about 3 miles when I saw a tree across the road, so I stopped and got out and pulled it to one side. I just got back in, was about to step on Lizzie when I heard someone yell, "All right, not so fast there, stranger." And I looked over at the edge of the road, and here was this fella with a rifle under his arm. I had a notion to go on, but I'm sure glad I didn't.
Why not? He couldn't have hit you. He had the gun under his arm, didn't he?
That's what you think, Vic. Listen, you know how that road is. Logs across it and not so much dirt on top, so it's like a washboard. Well, while we're riding along, this guy sits there and spots maybe a butterfly lighting on a bush way up the road. He'd up with that rifle, and bang would go Mr. Butterfly.
Probably just one of the natives. They get pretty good with those rifles, you know.
Good? Listen, this guy was a wizard.
Okay, so what makes you nervous about a guy with a rifle? He was just going to the store for a slab of bacon, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe not. When I got almost to Jasper's, it was just around the bend, so I know this guy knew where he was at. He had me let him out and told me not to say a word about him riding with me, and that he'd have to hurry if he wanted to make it before dark.
Make what before dark? Joe, you're getting so you're talking in riddles.
Don't ask me what, but I do know that I saw him a few minutes after that while I was trying to wake up Jasper. He must have gone to bed before sundown. I saw this guy with the rifle down at the pier in the canal talking to a fella in the speedboat. And then they took off down the canal faster than I ever saw a boat run before. Jasper said it was one of the boats they used to meet the liners off the coast, but he didn't know about this guy with the rifle getting into it, because I didn't tell him.
I see. He told you not to tell, and you just had to keep your word, huh, Joe?
Listen, I saw the look on that guy's face, and it ain't no use taking chances.
You're just up in the air over one of those squatters down here that's probably in a hurry to file on a piece of land he can't own.
Oh, now, I got a hunch that guy was no squatter. And what's more, no squatter in the Everglades ever had $50 all in one piece. And that's what Jasper said that speedboat fellow would have before he'd ever take his boat away from the dock.
He didn't happen to mention his name, did he, Joe?
No, he didn't. Say, he did it that. I remember now. He was saying something to himself, and he called himself. Let's see now, I think the name was Zeb. Gee, what's the matter, Vic? You strangle on that coffee?
Did you say his name was Zeb?
Yeah. But gosh, Vic, you're white as a sheet and shaking all over. What's the matter? You sick or something?
Hey, Baker, listen. The minute that truck gets here with that gas, we're all working to get out of here so we can get out of here in a hurry. I've got a hunch this Zeb will be back. But we're not going to be here when he gets here. I don't want to meet him.
Seems to shake the sinister calm of Vic Morgan. Can it be that Joe's passenger, Zeb, is the same rifle-carrying stranger that was holding Aunt Hattie and Art Morrison when we left them? And just why does the mere mention of his name strike fear into Vic? Meanwhile, what has befallen Ann Burton? Has she found her way back to civilization? Those are questions only time can answer. And the suspense will be repaid in thrills galore when you tune in the next episode of Ann of the Airlines.